Guys, welcome to The Pulse. We are at it again. You know what we do. We bring in people with interesting stories, entertaining stories, doing fun things, traveling the world. Today, I'm a little afraid. All right, so we've got...
I come in peace.
We've got comedian, multiple television shows. You wrote a book, at least one book. But the part that I'm afraid of is he's known as the Roast Master General, comedian Jeff Ross. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. Don't worry. I'm off duty right now. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to make fun of you.
So I'm good.
Although I can't wait to get to Philly and make fun of the city that almost won the Super Bowl. That'll be fun.
Oh, man. It's too soon.
Too soon, Bill. Too soon.
That's painful.
I love Philly. I love Philly so much. In honor of Will Smith, I'm going to wear my hair like Jada Pinkett for my shows.
Okay. See, I think that one we can roll with.
All right.
It's good. So I will tell you, and obviously the Roast Master General background is scary, but a couple weeks ago, Michael Blackson was here in studio. And the first two things he said to me was, I'm a grown man with baby hair, because he said I had waves in my hair. And that I'm not dark enough to qualify for his dark skin committee that he's been out there doing. So he essentially disqualified me from the beginning. So it has me a little concerned about comedians. So
no, I only roast volunteers, Bill. If you don't volunteer, you don't get roasted.
Okay, that's an interesting place to start. And where to go?
As a matter of fact, in my live shows in Philly, I will ask for volunteers at a certain point. So people have to stand up and go, roast me, Jeff, and I'll bring them on stage, line them up, and do a speed roast. But volunteers only. No bullying.
Are you ever surprised that so – and I'm following you on social media. I've seen the things that you do, and we'll talk about some of the specifics. Are you ever surprised how willing people are to come up on stage and get clowned?
It blows my mind. And I get disabled people, pregnant people, couples, like you never know what you're going to get. And I love it. It's like an equal opportunity offense. And for some reason, people love being a center of attention, even when there's a target on their back.
You made a point of saying, and I want to get into how you started doing all this in just a second, but you made a point of saying no bullying. The point where that sounds like a foundation of this. This is good-natured Roast Master General.
Yes. I mean, it's affection and a badge of honor if you can take the jokes and go home and tell your friends what I said. I want to scratch the skin. I don't want to break the skin. I want everyone to leave my shows going, wow, that was fun.
Okay, fair enough. Now, this started as I was reading the becoming the Roast Master. That was a survival technique in your family.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm a Jersey guy. So we were like busting each other's chops all the time. And you had to be able to take a joke, dish it right back. So I grew up in a catering hall in Newark. So I learned how to take jokes pretty at a pretty young age.
And even then, I mean, it was family. So that whole good-natured thing, family, you can go as far as you want oftentimes with family.
My family wasn't rich, so I was never worried about like getting written out of the will or anything like that. I could go full roast mode at any given time. And my family's kind of like that still, which is fun. And it did sort of give me thick skin for life where, you know, I dish it out, but I can take it.
I feel like you have to be able to do that. Like, you know, Will Smith.
I'd be the biggest hypocrite in the world. People keep asking me if I'm going to roast Will Smith. I'm like, he's proven he can't take a joke.
So let's go there for a second. Because you just were with Chris Rock on the Netflix special. Guys have long history of friendship, and we'll kind of explore that. But what do you think? I saw your post, but as somebody who's the Roast Master General, your reaction to the whole Will Smith, Chris Rock thing was pretty strong.
Well, I'm a big fan of using your words, using your voice instead of your fists to settle beef. You know, that's what roasting does. That's what comedy does. That's how you know, we should express ourselves through words. And I respect Chris so much and admire him as a comedian that I thought what he did was profound.
Has there, following your social media, I see the whole, the camaraderie, and you can see all the people that you've worked with over the years and what have you. That whole situation that violated the code, so that hits you, you know, in your post, that was almost personal, even though it didn't happen to you.
You're talking about my post during the Oscars?
Yeah, when it initially happened and how much that hurt
you. Yeah, well, I have alopecia, and I had never spoken about it on social media or even really to my friends much. I kind of was embarrassed by it and tried to cover it up and so on. And then when that moment happened where she didn't laugh at that joke, I thought, oh, wow, if she had laughed at that joke, she would have normalized this condition for so many people. And I was that's kind of what hurt, because my doctor had told me about a young girl who was getting bullied at school because they pulled her wig off. And, you know, she wound up committing suicide. And I thought, wow, if I could speak out and probably and do more to show that life goes on, you know, obviously it's traumatic no matter what kind of person you are to lose all your hair in just a matter of weeks. So I understand both sides of this one. But as a comedian, I'm always for taking the joke, laughing it off, and making everybody feel, taking the intensity out of the situation.
I'm going to probe a little bit.
Laughter's healing, Bill. You know, if you can laugh, you heal. And when a big star like Jada laughs, she heals a lot of people.
Did you talk to Chris? You and Chris Rock are friends.
Yeah.
So were you surprised by that joke? Did you get a chance to talk to him about it? Or from your perspective, that was a missed opportunity for Jada to normalize?
In that moment. But it worked out well for me because I'm going to be starring in G.I. Jane 2. So there you go.
there you go.
It's all working out. Let's go. Sign me up for the Army. Nice. You think I like looking like if Amazon sold a Jeff Bezos blow-up doll? Look at me. I've learned to live with it, Bill. I've learned to live with it. You think I don't know? I don't look like Popeye if he only ate Popeyes?
All right.
You think I don't know? I'm channeling. I've learned to channel my inner rock star, Pitbull.
Right. There you go. See, enjoy the process, embrace it,
exactly,
and roll
exactly.
with it.
Exactly, that's so Philly. Trust the process.
So you just got finished, you know, doing this whole the live special. You were there, participated in it. What was that like? I mean, you've done big shows and TV shows for years, but that's one of those hugely anticipated events.
Well, you know, I was behind the scenes. Chris asked me to open, and I've done that for him before. I did that for his last special. And, you know, he's someone I admire. He's prolific, and his work ethic is so powerful, and I always learn something new when I'm around him. He is one of the smartest guys I know. I believe that Chris could have done anything with his life. The fact that he chose to be a comedian is fortunate for us. The rest of the world. So I loved it. I thought what he did, you know, wasn't just about, you know, the Oscars. That special was a bigger piece about his kids and his mother and parenting, in my opinion.
But for your experience, just another show or part of history?
Oh, no, part of history. I definitely felt it because I have a lot of friends at Netflix and a lot of friends in Chris's orbit. So to see them all do a 145 city tour together, and I did pop up on some of Chris's shows in London and Liverpool and Amsterdam. We were over there, and it was wonderful watching him put this show together and tighten it up, and you know, just keep working it and working it until it was undeniable. And he said, "Yeah, sure, let's do it live." And I think that added an excitement to it, like a sporting event. Like a main event in a boxing arena.
So that's a level of behind the scenes thing that most of us never see. So the whole comedian fraternity, you guys are even kind of sitting there cheering for each other or impressed by each other or learning from each other. It's not the backstabbing that we often hear in the entertainment industry among that fraternity.
Not with comedians. Comedians are like a tribe. I feel like I'm a stand-up comic before I'm anything else in life. This is my tribe. And I do feel, you know, comedians, we can be competitive and so on. But I think for the most part, we back each other up and we love each other. And we support each other when we're doing a big gig like that. Dave Chappelle flew out to be there for Chris. Now, these are two guys that could easily be competitive, but they're not. They come together like the Avengers when something big is happening.
Have you seen, you mentioned Dave Chappelle. We all saw the Chris Rock thing, but shortly thereafter, somebody came up on stage at the Dave Chappelle show. When you see all of this happening as the roast master, has comedy changed? Now, are people just more sensitive? Were those isolated incidents? Monique was on our show and said, you know, you can come on stage if you want to. You'll walk over, but you'll limp back. Like, have you had to change the way you do things because people have changed?
You know, I was on stage that night with Dave Chappelle at the Hollywood Bowl the night that lunatic jumped out of the crowd. And I still have some, you know, PTSD about that because, you know, Chris getting slapped and Dave getting tackled over jokes. Yeah, that speaks to me. You know, it didn't happen to me, but I feel that energy. I do worry about that. And yes, I have security at my shows. I don't want any, you know, I talk smack for a living, so I have to be super conscious of all that. But as far as once I'm on stage in a venue like a comedy club, especially in Philly, where people have thick skin and life can be hard, it's cold, it can be a lonely big city. Like people need comedy. To me, it's like I'm bringing it's like for your mental health. You got to go out and laugh every now and then or else we get all wound up. So I consider it my mission in life to take the tension out of people's lives, to try to relax, maybe even massage their brain for an hour. And once I'm up there, anything goes. I'm not holding back. Comedy hasn't changed in a bad way. If anything, the world has gotten more violent. The world has gotten depressed. Everybody's talking about suicide and depression and divorce. And when we go on stage, they leave that behind and they come in and hopefully they feel a little lifted by the time the show's over.
I may be biased because I'm a born and raised in Philly guy. I feel like Philly is the perfect city for you to come. You know, when you're talking about doing roasting and inviting people up, and now you're going to have people in the crowd who think that they can give it as well as they get it. But I would imagine that contributes to a great show. When you're traveling around, do you kind of feel that in the different cities you go to, that whole energy of the city?
I do. I like to get in early and get a feel for it and roast the city from the inside out. I'll have a bunch of jokes about Philly all in the chamber, ready to go when I walk on stage. And that's all part of it. You got to roast the whole vibe, the whole feel of the place. And you're right, you know, Philly's close to Jersey, where I'm from. There was always a little bit of competition between the two. You know, I made a couple cracks early on, but I do love Philadelphia. I've always had great shows there. I haven't been there in a long time, so I am kind of wound up to see some old friends and make people laugh. So if you have a big fat cousin or an ugly uncle, bring them out to the show. I'm gonna roast them. I will crack you up more than the Liberty Bell.
You just got to make sure they're ready, right?
They're ready.
Bring the family who's ready. Have a couple cocktails at Punchline.
That helps. A couple of drinks helps. And by the way, these clubs, they have food. And for whatever reason, my fans will have a few drinks, but they eat. I just broke the food sales records at the Tempe Improv in Arizona. Like, I somehow have the fattest fans.
Okay, so people come People come ready to roll. I'm going through your ready to roll. No pun intended.
I'm enjoying you making this so I don't know what the word is, journalistic. I'm enjoying you making notes, getting it right. This is what I love, Bill, is that comedy is now like everyone cares about it. Like it's at the top of the news cycle. You have a journalist talking about comedy like a high art form, and a big, you know, obviously stand-up is having a pop culture moment now, whether it's the Chris thing or the fact that you know, stand-up, American stand-up has gone worldwide.
Okay, so then let's take it down to the lowest level. Forget that journalistic integrity and bring it down. I'm looking at all the things that you've done with roasting people, the places you've gone. You're a little nuts. You went and did a roast in the prison.
Yeah.
Why? Like, what? How did that happen?
I wanted to do something different. I wrote to hundreds, maybe 1,000 jails and prisons around America. This is a few years back. And only one said yes. Only one let me in. And that was Brazos County Jail down in Texas, where they take their law enforcement just as seriously as I take my roasting. And they let me come in and roast the women. And then I roasted the men in separate rooms. And it was a career highlight for me. Just learning about criminal justice reform, solitary confinement, the death penalty, what it takes to get in and out of jail and why people go in and out. And it changed me. I learned a lot. It helped humanize the incarcerated, and also made people laugh. So I wanted to shine a light on the people that go to jail. Not everybody's a murderer and a terrorist. Some people are just in there for mistakes. And I'm a big believer in second chances. And I wanted to talk about that in there as well. So it's all in there. Jeff Ross Roasts Criminals. You can watch that.
So they were generally good sports. Like that was a highlight of your career, not a, I'm never doing that again.
Oh, I'm never doing that again. That was genuinely terrifying, especially because like most of those people are getting out now. You know, it's been a few years. You know, you got the white supremacists with the swastika tattoos and the, you know, the gangbangers with the teardrops and there's a murderer and it was intense. It was definitely intense. And to answer your question, yes, I would go back and do it again.
So that was one of those.
Yeah.
That was one of those old school Russell Simmons. Thank you. God bless and good night. Now it's time for us to go. It's time to leave.
Thank you. Yeah. No, they wound up being a very, I don't say gracious, but raucous, fun crowd. And the guys went wild. I worked hard to create a stand-up act just for them, tailor-made for them in that jail in Texas. And well, you can watch the results. It's a pretty fun show.
Yeah,
I brought the inmates up on stage and roasted them just like I'm going to roast the fans in Philly next weekend.
Yeah, you're a little nuts. So back,
I'm a Newark boy, black belt. Come on, bring it.
Okay.
Bring it.
Okay. I used to work for a radio station, and the station went in and played inmates in softball. And that was one of those things where you're like, everybody's really cool, everybody's really nice, but you're about ready to go. Like it shows you, I'm not built for this. Like I'm gonna have to follow the law.
Oh, I did. I went in early. I ate with the people there, and I played basketball and interviewed everybody in the jail. By the time I shot the show, I knew all the guards and a lot of the incarcerated people too.
Wow. Anybody not respond?
My first joke was where my murderer's at, and three guys in the front row raised their hand, and that's when I backed up. And I was like, whoa, couldn't put these guys in the back.
See, that's the part where you're like, huh, maybe I'll be the Peacemaster General for this show. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going down that path. With so many stories of success and all the different people you've roasted and, you know, doing the TV shows and the ones that have all gone viral, the one with the inmates, everyone talking about all the fun things that you've done. Was there ever anybody who didn't respond well?
Oh boy. Every now and then, you know, somebody gets a, you know, but I'm very careful, Bill, to vet, to make sure people volunteer. Like with roasting, you want them in on it. Consent is the most important part of it. It's fun when they're in on it, when they want it, when they're like, bring it, Jeff, you know, go hard and roast me. And it, that part of it, when they're in on it, it lights it up, because then they're laughing too. And if I'm roasting a big star, I always say, if you're having fun, everybody's having fun. So as far as people not digging it, not getting it, that doesn't really happen, because I work too hard to make sure that they're down. And by the way, they get a rebuttal at the end of the roast. So they're looking, they're earning their hits. They're taking those hits, then earning that rebuttal, that comeback at the end, which for most roasts, I remember Joan Rivers, her rebuttal was the funniest thing on the whole show. She schooled everybody, you know. Then you have other people I roasted, like Flava Flav, who was having so much fun. He was just kicking his feet up and laughing the whole time. And Justin Bieber, he was the one person who called me. It was his idea to get roasted. So sometimes it comes from them. They know they want that moment. They want that moment in the hot seat for all different reasons. Sometimes they want to plug something. Sometimes they want to reboot for their career or their personal life. And it enables you to kind of put the past in a box, own it, accept it, laugh at it, and move on. It's very cathartic, these roasts.
You know, I think it's cool about that. And you tell me, it's one of the things that I like about this show, because you hear people's perspectives that you would never see. Like the impression of Justin Bieber isn't that he's a good sport who's going to be inviting people to come in there and make fun of him. It's that he would be annoyed by all the people who do. Now, and when you kind of tell those stories, I think that part is pretty cool. Has that been cool for you, going, wow, that person was a good sport?
Yeah, because I get to know people in a very unique way. People have been talking about the great Bruce Willis a lot lately. And when I roasted Bruce a few years back, he would call me for the month leading up to the roast every day, every other day, with some new thing that he thought I should mention. He's like, don't forget, I stutter. Don't forget that, you know, about this bomb movie I made in the 80s. You know, he's like, Jeff, you know, we're both Jersey boys. If you go easy on me, my friends are going to never let me live it down. So some of these people, they want it really. They want it. And that's the best, when you have a volunteer, an honoree that is just game. And if somebody's so made, you know, like Bruce Willis, like, what, you know, he's just going like this afterwards. Those jokes don't hurt, especially when you go back to your private jet, yeah, your right. big mansion.
Yeah. It's a valid point. Like, you could insult me too if I was worth $100 million, you know, something like that. You say whatever you want.
Someday, Bill, trust the process.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We saw how that turned out so far for the Sixers. But I believe I'm going to hang in there. March 17th and 18th, you're at Punchline, a comedy club here in Philly. Yeah. We know about the roasting, but tell us what we can expect. Who needs to come? Bring your thick skin. What's going on?
You know, I'm going to do something more personal than I've ever done. I've been talking about life and death. It's not depressing. It's a celebration. I lost Bob Saget and Gilbert Gottfried this year, two of my besties. And I'll start there. And it kind of goes deep. And if you've had a rough week, if you've had a rough year, I think you'll find my show uplifting and cathartic and a release of tension. And then just when it hits the peak, I'll put the lights up and I'll have volunteers come on and get roasted. So it has many dimensions, and you don't have to get roasted. You could just stay out there in the dark and enjoy other people getting it. So if you're on a date, I will definitely be your wingman. I will help you break the ice. There's some sex talk too. And at the end of the day, it's all about love.
I feel like I'm missing out on you not knowing me well enough for me to get roasted. Like, I've got the Roastmaster General, and I'm not going to get it.
I see you, Don Expired Lemon. I see you. I see those. I see those Philly fanatic eyebrows on you, Bill. I see them.
So you can see me a little bit through this camera.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure that you were getting a close enough look.
Oh, you weren't ready for that, were you? I enjoyed this interview. This was a very thoughtful interview.
We got two things we end with, man. I've been hearing about the eyebrows for a minute. The eyebrows and the Anderson family 4x4 head. I got a little bit of that. Two things.
You look good, buddy. I'm only teasing, man.
No, listen, that's fun. I can't have you on and I'm not willing to get some of it. Two things that we end the show with are, one, we want to make sure everybody knows you've done like roasting for charity. You've raised money for the soldiers. Veterans, tell us about some of the charitable work that's important to you.
Ooh, well, I feel like almost every week I do some sort of charity event. You know, you see me out there on the weekend doing a big show in Philly, but on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, I do stuff for a lot of stuff for the homeless, especially here in Los Angeles. I just did a thing for kids in New Jersey about teaching music in schools. I do a lot of shows for the military. I've been all over the world in war zones and so on. Big supporter of the USO. When you're a comedian, you know, it feels good to make people laugh, and that's the high for me. It's not always about what I'm making or how big my name is on the marquee. The fun part for me is when I'm walking down the street and somebody says, man, I was homesick with COVID, or my kid had, you know, something in the hospital, or my grandma was dying and I saw you pop on TV and you made me feel so good. And to me, that's the reward. I know it sounds corny. I get all that. I've been through all that, but it really is real for me. And you know, I lost my parents when I was young. Comedy, laughter, my sister and I, we developed thick skin, and that's what got us through life. And I always say at the end of my shows, life is hard, but we're getting through it together.
I feel like you ended the show. Our last thing is use your voice for good. That's the theme of this show. But it sounds like that's the foundation of what you do, even as the Roastmaster General. What does use your voice for good mean to you?
You know, I'll give you an example. And you know, I talk about these roasts. I had a guy wobble on stage recently. You know, I said, come up, volunteers, who wants to come up? And this guy wobbled on stage. I thought he was drunk, but it turns out he had one leg. And I was like, huh, this is different. Am I going to make fun of this guy with one leg in front of all these people? So I had to save him for last. And by then I was like, stop faking. Come on. Let me see this leg. And I made him show it. And I was like, is that my mic stand? What are you even got in there with that thing? And he's like telling me about his motorcycle accident. And I said, bro, you got thick skin. Unfortunately, you left some of it on the highway. And this guy is falling over laughing. He probably would have been falling over anyway with one leg, but he was falling over laughing. And his friends were bugging out. Like, I took something that maybe he was stigmatized and normalized it for him. Instead of laughing at him, people were laughing with him. He was volunteering. He was in on it. He had jokes and a story to tell his buddies the next day at work. So to me, that's how I use my voice for good.
Jeff Ross, we appreciate you. Punchline Comedy Club, March 17th, 18th. We will be there. Bring your thick skin, Philly. This is going to be a good time.
I love it, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule.
This is a really fun interview, man. Thank you so much.
You have a good one. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Guys, thanks so much for listening to today's podcast, The Pulse with Bill Anderson. Today with the Roastmaster General, Jeff Ross. he was fun, but he was also informative and interesting. And I hope you learned as much from the interview as I did. I love talking to people who have this kind of depth of understanding and knowledge, doing things for a lot of different reasons. Opens my eyes. That's why I love this show so much. Even as he compared my eyebrows to the Philly Fanatic, called me an expired Don Lemon. I'm willing to let that slide because we had fun with him. A reminder that if you're ever in Philadelphia and want to watch the show on TV, we air 6:30 on Mondays on Fox 29, nationally on Fox Soul, and go search us on YouTube. So many episodes with so many people that you may not have seen. Click subscribe so you get a notification every Monday when the new podcast comes out. And hit me up on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. I love to hear from you. I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you, whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.